Side 1, cassette number 29, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division F, The Law of Attraction, on page 1200. In studying these hierarchies, one of the most valuable lessons to be learned is the place and importance of man in the scheme. The hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit and principle of Bodhi, is the esoteric cause of the cosmic marriage of spirit and matter, based on the love and desire of the logos. But each hierarchy also expresses itself through one particular manifestation, which comes to be regarded by the finite mind of man as the hierarchy itself. This is not so, and care must be taken to distinguish between these hierarchies. Page 1201. They are latent germs of force centers and manifest subjectively. They warm and vitalize groups of forms. They flower forth and express themselves through the medium of a form or another hierarchy. These hierarchies are all interrelated and are negative or positive to each other, as the case may be. As is stated in the Secret Doctrine, this hierarchy is the nursery for the incarnating jivas, and it carried in it the germs of the lives which achieved the human stage in another solar system, but were not able to proceed beyond that owing to the coming in of pralaya, which projected them into a state of latency. The condition of the hierarchy is similar, only on a cosmic scale, to the condition of the seeds of human life held in a state of obscuration during an interchain period. The three other hierarchies dealt with, first, second, and third, were those who have, in previous kalpas of logoic manifestation, passed beyond the human stage altogether. They are therefore the formless groups, as the remaining are the rupa groups, or those having forms. The fourth creative hierarchy, or the ninth, must ever be regarded in this solar system as occupying what might be considered as the third place. First, the lives, or the three persons of the Trinity. Second, the prototypes of man, the seven spirits. Third, man, or the lowest manifestation of the self-conscious spirit aspect. This needs to be carefully considered and has no reference to the form aspect, but solely to the nature of the lives expressing themselves through other lives who are also self-conscious or fully intelligent. This, certain of the hierarchies, are not. Page 1202. The four lower hierarchies are all concerned with manifestation in the three worlds, or in the dense physical body of the solar logos. They are those who can discard or pass through the etheric body of the solar logos and take forms composed of either gaseous, liquid, or dense substance. The others cannot. They cannot fall into physical generation. Students must bear in mind that from the standpoint of the logos, the solar angels on the mental plane, the fifth subplane of the cosmic physical plane, are in physical incarnation, and what is called the second fall applies to this. The first fall has reference to the taking of a form of cosmic etheric matter, such as is the case with the heavenly men, the prototypes of the human jivas. In this latter case, the bodies used are called formless from our standpoint and are vital bodies animated by cosmic prana. In the case of ourselves and the remaining groups, the forms are composed of substance of the three lower planes, that which the logos does not regard as principle, and therefore matter responding still to the vibration of the earlier system. This means that the four lower hierarchies are links between the life of the past and of the future. They are the present. They had not finished their contacts with the active intelligent principle of the preceding kalpa, and so must continue such contacts in this. They will work out of it in this system. The four will become the three, and they will then be the three higher arupa hierarchies of the next system. Before continuing our consideration of the particular hierarchies, it is necessary to point out that in these hierarchies, certain of them are termed dominant hierarchies, and others subsidiary hierarchies. By this is meant that certain of them are, in this solar system, expressing themselves more fully than the others, and this necessarily entails the consequence that their vibration is more to be felt than that of the subsidiary groups. Page 1203. The dominant groups are the second, fourth, and fifth, and this because A, the second is the great expression of duality of the sun as he vitalizes the sun. B, the fourth is the hierarchy of human monads who are the mediators or the synthesizers. They express the gain of system one and the goal of system two. C, the fifth or tenth is closely linked with the five liberated hierarchies and is an expression of their synthesized life. It might therefore be said that the fifth hierarchy serves as the representative of the five liberated groups, and the fourth is the representative group in this system, whilst the second represents, for man or these two groups united, that which is the spirit aspect, the Father, the unknown. Hierarchy 5. The fifth creative hierarchy is, as we know from study of the secret doctrine, a most mysterious one. This mystery is incident upon the relation of the fifth hierarchy to the five liberated groups. This relation, in connection with our particular planet, which is not a sacred planet, can be somewhat understood if the history of the Buddha and his work is contemplated. This is hinted at in the third volume of the secret doctrine. The relation of the fifth hierarchy to a certain constellation has also a bearing upon this mystery. This is hidden in the karma of the solar logos and concerns his relationship to another solar logos and the interplay of force between them in a greater Mahakalpa. This is the true secret of the dragon, and it was the dragon influence or the serpent energy which caused the influx of manasic or mind energy into the solar system. Entangled closely with the karma of these two cosmic entities was that of the lesser cosmic entity who is the life of our planet, the planetary logos. Page 1204. It was this triple karma which brought in the serpent religion and the serpents or dragons of wisdom in Lemurian days. It had to do with solar and planetary kundalini or serpent fire. A hint lies in the fact that the constellation of the dragon has the same relation to the one, greater than our logos, as the center at the base of the spine has to a human being. It concerns stimulation and vitalization with a consequent coordination of the manifesting fires. A clue to the mystery lies also in the relation of this fifth group to the two contracting poles. They are the fivefold links, the benign uniters, and the producers of the atonement. Esoterically, they are the saviors of the race, and from them emanates that principle which, in conjunction with the highest aspect, lifts the lower aspect up to heaven. When these mysteries are carefully studied and due application made to the lives of the greatest exponents of the at-oneing principle, it will become apparent how great and all-important is their place in the scheme. It is for this reason that the units of the fifth hierarchy are called the hearts of fiery love. They save through love, and in their turn these lives are peculiarly close to the great heart of love of the solar logos. These great redeeming angels, who are the sons of men on their own true plane, the mental, are ever therefore pictured as taking the form of 12-petaled lotuses, this symbology linking them up with the sun of divine love, the manifested solar system, which is said to be a cosmic 12-petal lotus, and with the logoic causal lotus equally of a 12-petaled nature. We have, therefore, a direct flow of energy flowing through A, the logoic 12-petaled egoic lotus, cosmic mental plane, page 1205, B, the solar 12-petaled lotus, C, the planetary logoic heart, also a 12-petaled lotus. D, the 12-petaled human egoic lotus on the mental plane. E, the 12-petaled heart center in a human being. Or, to word it otherwise, energy flows directly from A, the solar logos via three great cosmic centers. 1, the central spiritual sun. 2, the heart of the sun. 3, the physical sun. B, the heart center of the planetary logos, situated on the fourth cosmic etheric plane, our buddhic plane. C, the egoic lotus of a human being on the mental plane, which is literally a correspondence to the heart of the sun. The monadic point is a reflection in the human system of the central spiritual sun. D, the heart center of a man on the etheric plane of the physical plane, which is in its turn a correspondence to the physical sun. Thus, the tiny atom man is linked with the great central life of the solar system. This fifth hierarchy is equally, under the law, a distributor of energy to the fifth subplane of each plane in the system. Only it must be borne in mind that in the three worlds, it is the fifth subplane counting from above downward, whilst in the worlds of superhuman evolution, it is the fifth counting from below upwards. This hierarchy wields, as we know, the dual aspects of Manas, one in the three worlds and one which makes itself felt in higher spheres. Page 1206. It is necessary to bear in mind that all these groups are, even when termed formless, the true forms of all that persists, for all are in the etheric body of the solar logos or planetary logos. This is a point requiring careful emphasis. Students have for too long regarded the form as being the dense physical body, whereas to the occultist, the physical body is not the form, but a gross maya or illusion, and the true form is the body of vitality. Therefore, these hierarchies are the sum total of the vital lives and the substratum, or the substance, of all that is. We might regard the subject as follows. A. The four superior groups are the hierarchies expressing themselves through the three cosmic ethers, the second, third, and fourth. B. The two lowest groups are the lives which are found functioning as the involutionary matter, organized and unorganized, of the logoic dense physical body, the liquid and gaseous, with the living substance of the four higher subplanes of the systemic dense physical body. C. The fifth hierarchy has an interesting position as the mediating body between the higher four and those which are found on the lower three subplanes. There is a vital and significant correspondence to be found between the seven head centers and the seven groups of egos on the mental plane. And there is an occult analogy between the three head centers, pineal gland, pituitary body, and the alter major center, and the expression of these seven groups of egos in the three worlds. This is a most important esoteric fact, and all students of meditation upon the laws of at-one-ment must take this analogy into consideration. It is useful to remember the place of these hierarchies in the scheme and to realize that upon the sum total of these vital bodies is gradually gathered the dense manifestation which we regard as the evolutionary matter. The forms are built from the form of all atoms to the body of the ego, from the form of a flower to the vast planetary or solar lotus, because the hierarchies exist as the aggregate of germ lives, giving the impulse, providing the model, and procuring, through their very existence, the entire raison d'être of all that is seen on all planes. Page 1207. Hierarchies 6 and 7. These sixth and seventh hierarchies, which provide the substance forms of the three worlds, have a vital use and a most interesting place. From the logoic standpoint, they are not regarded as providing principles, but from the standpoint of man, they do provide him with his lowest principles. They hold the same relation to the logos as the dense physical body does to man, and all that concerns the evolution of man must, in this particular place, be studied as going on within the physical logoic vehicle. They deal with the display of physical energy, with the working out in the physical vehicle of all divine purposes, and with the physical organization of a certain great cosmic life. Particularly is this so when we view the two hierarchies under consideration. They are the lowest residue of the previous system, and the energy of that matter, liquid, gaseous, and dense, which the vibration of the logoic permanent atom on the plane Adi attracts to itself in the building of the divine form. For purposes of clarification and of generalization, it might be noted that the seventh hierarchy is the life or energy found at the heart of every atom, its positive aspect. And the sixth hierarchy is the life of the forms of all the etheric bodies of every tangible object. The function of this hierarchy is well described in the words of the old commentary. Quote, "The devas heard the word go forth. They sacrifice themselves, and out of their own substance they build the form desired. They draw life and the material from themselves and yield themselves to the divine impulse." Close quote. Page 1208. It is not possible to say much more anent these two last hierarchies. Much that concerns them has been covered in the section of this treatise which deals with the fire of matter. I would only point out that just as we teach in the occult wisdom that there is a definite progression from one kingdom into the next higher above, so there is a similar activity in the realm of the hierarchies. The lives which compose a hierarchy pass in ordered cycles into the next above, though the word above but serves to mislead. It is consciousness and realization which must be considered as being transferred, and the consciousness of one hierarchy expands into that of the next higher. This can also be viewed in terms of energy. The negative lives of a hierarchy follow the following sequence. 1. Negative energy. 2. Equilibrized energy. 3. Positive energy. The positive lives of one hierarchy become the negative lives of another when they pass into it, and this it is which leads to the general confusion of ideas under which the average student labors. If he is to comprehend the matter with accuracy, he must study each hierarchy in a threefold manner, and view it also in its transitional state, as the negative blends and merges into the positive, and the positive becomes the negative pole of a higher vibratory stage. There are therefore 9 states of consciousness through which each hierarchy has to pass, and some idea of the significance of this and their relativity can be gained by a consideration of the 9 initiations of the fourth creative hierarchy. Within these 9 distinct expansions through which each life and each hierarchy must pass are to be found lesser expansions, and it is here that the main difficulty for the student of divine psychology lies. The whole subject concerns the psyche or second aspect of every life, superhuman, human, and subhuman, and only when the true psychology is better understood will the subject take on its true importance. Page 1209. Then the 9 unfoldments of each hierarchy will be somewhat comprehended and their relative importance assigned. Study of the matter in each kingdom will not as yet bring full enlightenment regarding the constitution of the elements of the human kingdom and its principles, which are the manifestations of the different hierarchies. The true revelation will only come as the following points are recognized. 1. The triple nature of man. 2. The distinctions between the vehicle and that which utilizes the vehicle. 3. The distinction between a ray, which is the expression of logoic energy, and a positive emanation, and a hierarchy which is a negative emanation of the logos upon which his positive energy impresses itself, driving that hierarchy on to self-expression and forcing the marriage of the poles. The whole subject is very involved and difficult, but light will begin to dawn before long when science recognizes the nature, place, and responsibility of the etheric body in man or of his vital body and its position as the true form and basic unit of the dense physical body. When this has been admitted and the illuminating facts recorded and known, when the connection between the two is grasped and the necessary deductions and correlations are made, the whole subject of logoic manifestation and the work of the lives on the 4 higher planes with their effect upon the logoic dense physical plane, our 3 worlds of expression, will take on a new coloring. The thoughts of men will be revolutionized on the subject of creation. The terms and expressions now used will be corrected, and all will be expressed in terms of form-building energy and the 3 modes of electrical phenomena. Page 1210. This realization is rapidly on its way, but only the generation after the one which the children of the present age are expressing will see it demonstrated to such an extent as to place etheric electrical phenomena beyond all dispute. This will be done by the coming in of egos who are fully conscious on the etheric levels and who can see all that which is now the subject of speculation. They, from their great numbers and high stage of intellectuality, will rescue the whole matter from the realm of controversy and demonstrate the facts. The work of building forms will never be understood till the true function of the etheric body is realized. It is the attractive agent for those lives which are so low an order as to be occultly inert. These lives, which are not included in the list of hierarchies, are acted upon by the sixth and seventh groups and by the energy emanating from them. They are stirred from the inertia in which they have rested and are driven to take their place and to form the concrete vehicles of all that is. They are the lowest manifestation of that which is abstract. They are the densest concretion of spirit. They are the failures of the system preceding this, and their failure is so complete, from the standpoint of consciousness, that all the response they can make to the positive vibration of the seventh hierarchy is simply to be attracted. They can be occultly drawn into place, but only at the close of this solar system will they be in a condition to pass into and become the seventh hierarchy of the next solar system. The goal for that which is not a principle is that it shall become a vital principle through the play of energy upon it. We are dealing here with that mysterious something which has been called the refuse of that which earlier was seen, with that latent energy which hid the lowest vibration of the system before ours, and which was so heavy and so inert as to be regarded beyond the ken of the Logos. Page 1211. He was unaware of it, and the object before these peculiar lives, which live and yet are occultly dead, is that they must force themselves into the range of his conscious control by response to those lives which are consciously directed by him, and who are therefore the saviors of the lowest. 4. Group unity. Group unity must be viewed somewhat from the mystical standpoint. It is a truism in occultism to say that nothing stands alone, yet it is a fact that each infinitesimal part of the whole has three relations. 1. To those units which form its body of manifestation. 2. To its own unitary life. 3. To that greater unit of which it forms a part. One of the main things which, it has been said, underlies logic purpose is the working out of ways which will result in true group unity. All that is to be seen might be regarded as a gigantic endeavor on the part of a great intelligence to produce a group, and evolution is to be regarded, therefore, as a vast experiment with this objective in view. This triple responsibility above referred to exists for the atom or for the solar locus, and the trend of the evolutionary process is to make each unit, microcosm and macrocosm, an intelligent cooperator, responsive to forces impinging upon it externally and aware of its own internal economy and of the latent forces and energies which it has to contribute to the good of the whole. Man, standing as he does at the middle point in evolution and marking the stage in the evolution of consciousness where a triple awareness is possible, awareness of individuality, awareness of the forces which are subhuman and which must be controlled, and awareness of a place within the plan and purpose of a greater man, must therefore rightly be regarded as the most important of the evolutions, for through him can be worked out intelligently the laws of group unity for all the three groups, superhuman, human, and subhuman. Page 1212. Above him stand those who are too pure, or, as it is called, too cold, to be immersed in the matter of the three worlds. Below him are found those lives which are too impure, occultly understood, or too full of burning matter and veiled in smoke, to be able to mount of themselves into regions where stand the unveiled sons of God. Man, therefore, acts as the mediator, and in him and through him can be worked out group methods and laws which, in a later solar system, can form a basic law for unified work. It is this fact which brings about so much of the peculiar trouble and nature of the human kingdom, and it might here be said that on our planet, which is, it must be remembered, one of the profane planets, certain experiments in connection with this problem have been undertaken by our planetary logos. These, if successful, will result in a great expansion of the knowledge of the planetary logos regarding the laws governing all bodies and masses. Our planetary logos has been given the name of the experimenting divine physicist. It is this condition which makes the humanity of this planet unique in some respects, for they may be regarded as working out two main problems. One, the problem of establishing a conscious relation and response to the animal kingdom. Two, the problem of simultaneously receiving and holding vibrations from superhuman lives and of transmitting them consciously to the subhuman states. Page 1213. All this has to be accomplished by the units of the human kingdom in full individual consciousness, and the work of each human being might be regarded, therefore, as having in view the establishment of a sympathetic relation with other human units and with the petries of the animal kingdom, and also the development of the power to act as the transmitter of energies from greater lives than his own, and to become a transmuting, mediating agency. It might be of interest here to note that it is the problem of establishing a relation between the animal and himself which was the original basis of what is called Hatha Yoga and Tantric magic. The link was sought in this yoga with that which was known to be similar in the two kingdoms, the physical body with its activities and purposes, and that which should be negative in the human kingdom was stimulated into a positive agency through the power of the will. That followers of Hatha Yoga are not aware of this purpose may be true, but the originating exponents of the Hatha Yoga mysteries were well aware of this objective, and in their zeal for unity between the two kingdoms, sought unity in the lower aspects and neglected the real method. Roman numeral 3, group relations. In establishing group relation with the superhuman kingdoms, man has not so erred, though relatively little progress has as yet been made, and few are the human units who have merged their consciousness with that of the greater directing intelligences and yet remained in the human family. This is the true Raja Yoga. It will be apparent, therefore, that in the fourth or human kingdom, wherein the fourth hierarchy is seeking experience, there is an effort on foot to effect the merging or centralization of the forces of three groups. A. Of the energy for which the animal kingdom stands. B. Of purely human energy. C. Of the spiritual energy of the group, which is the exponent of Buddhic force, thus bringing in at the third great realization the force of Atma itself, of which Buddhi is but the vehicle. Page 1214. These three streams of force should hold the following place. Buddhic force, positive. Human energy, equilibrized. Animal energy, negative. Or, to word it otherwise, the positive controlling factor in the human group should be spiritual energy, towards which the animal nature should be entirely receptive, these two holding towards each other the relative position of father-mother. The purely human energy serves as the balancing factor and brings about an adjustment between the spirit aspect and the material. It is this triple group relation which makes the microcosm such a genuine reflection of the greater man and the fourth kingdom a true exponent of cosmic processes. The same laws govern the relationship of these three factors as govern the group interrelation of the Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva aspects. Time and space, or divine opportunity, play their parts in microcosmic group work as they do in the macrocosmic, and cyclic evolution proceeds in its work of group adjustment for both units, in order to produce eventual group harmony in both cases. It is the harmony of the individual with himself and with his environing units, and his realization of the essential oneness of all life, which brings about the great expansions of consciousness and leads to individual identification with some greater whole. The work of a human atom, therefore, is but a replica of that which proceeds in the planetary or solar atom, and serves as an incentive to those minute individual lives which find their place in the six subhuman kingdoms, the three elemental and the three material. Page 1215. In one case, we have a correspondence of so close a nature as to be almost a replica on a tiny scale. In the other, we have analogies which produce what may be regarded as a reflection of the whole. In both cases, we have basic group relations, fundamental group laws which produce group interrelations and bring about an essential union between all the forms of life. It is not my intention to say much anent group forms and work. It is for the student to study himself and that which surrounds him, and thus arrive at his own conclusions. We will therefore close this part of our treatise by a brief enumeration of 1. The three atomic relations, 2. The seven laws of group work, 3. The 22 methods of interplay. These 32 phases and ideas must be applied in degree to all atoms, the tiny lives which are the sum total of all material worlds, the planetary atom, the macrocosm for all on the five planes, and the solar atom, the synthesis of all on the seven planes and of the seven evolutions. 1. Three atomic relations. Individual. This concerns the central fire of all atoms and affects the relation of that positive center to all within its sphere of influence. Systemic. This concerns the relation of all atoms to other atoms which come within their range of influence or their scale of contacts. Universal. This deals with the identification of all atoms with these particular groups and their consequent submergence in the interests of the greater whole. It might be noted here that the immediate objective of the human kingdom is consciously to establish systemic relations and be actively and consciously part of group work. Page 1216. The individual consciousness of relationship is somewhat established owing to there being self-consciousness. The work for the subhuman kingdoms is the establishment of conscious self-realization, or the bringing about of a distinct individualism in every form of atomic life, whilst the object for the superhuman lives is the establishment of a universal consciousness which will enable every planet and solar life to be consciously and intelligently part of a cosmic whole. 2. The seven laws of group work. These can only be expressed largely through the medium of mystical terms, and it is left to the intuition of the student to apply them to the more material forms of life. Law 1. The law of sacrifice. This involves the immolation and sacrifice of that which has been realized. This is crucifixion, the basic law of all group work, the governing principle which results in each human unit eventually becoming a savior. Law 2. The law of magnetic impulse. The law governing the primary realizations by any atom of its environing contacts and the going out or feeling after by that atom, so that eventually a relation between that which is realized as part of the group and the unit is established. This is not the same thing as making sense contacts, as the relation established is between the self in all, and not between aspects of the not-self. This law is sometimes called the first step towards marriage, for it results in an eventual union between the man or atom and the group which produces harmonious group relations. Law 3. The law of service. This law, for want of a better name, concerns the identification of an atom with the group interest and the steady negation of the atom's own material interests. It really deals with the process or method whereby an atom, positive in its own centralized life, gradually becomes responsive and receptive to the positive life of the group. Page 1217. Law 4. The law of repulsion. This law concerns itself with the ability of an atom to throw off or refuse to contact any energy deemed inimical to group activity. It is literally a law of service, but only comes consciously into play when the atom has established certain basic discriminations and guides its activities through a knowledge of the laws of its own being. This law is not the same as the law of repulsion, which is used in connection with the law of attraction between forms which have relation to the material. The laws we are now considering have relation to the psyche or to the Vishnu aspect. One group of laws concern energies emanating from the physical sun. The ones we are now considering emanate from the heart of the sun. The repulsion here dealt with has the effect, when consciously applied through the developed heart energy of a human atom, for instance, of furthering the interests of the repulsed unit and of driving this unit closer to its own center. Perhaps some idea of the great beauty of this law as it works out can be gathered from an occult phrase in a certain old book. Quote, "This repulsive force drives in seven directions and forces all that it contacts back to the bosom of the seven spiritual fathers." Close quote. Through repulsion, the units are driven home and the straying unconscious ones are forced towards their own center. The law of repulsion, or the stream of energy for which it is but a name, can work from any center, but as dealt with here, it must emanate from the heart if it is to bring about the necessary group work. Law 5, the law of group progress. This is sometimes called the law of elevation, for it concerns the mysteries of group realization and expansions of consciousness and the part each unit plays in the general progress of a group. Page 1218. In relation to the human family, for instance, the truth must ever be borne in mind that no human atom arrives at fullness of life without adding much to the general nature of his own group. The elevation of a unit results in the raising of the group. The realization of the unit brings about eventually group recognition. The initiation of the unit leads finally to planetary initiation, and the attainment of the goal by the human atom and his achievement of his objective brings about steadily and ceaselessly group achievement. No man liveth to himself, and the crucifixion of the units throughout the eons and their realization of their essential nature, only in order to offer up the best they have and realize to the interests of the group, are but the methods whereby the work of liberation is carried forward. Sacrifice, service, magnetism. I, if I be lifted up, will draw. Group progress, divine repulsion, these are but the inadequate terms whereby we seek to express the divine truth that the whole life and expression of the solar logos will only be possible, and his purpose only be revealed, when he has brought each atomic unit to the stage of self-realization. Then he will lead them on to the point of sacrificing that realized self so that divine purpose and will may be consummated and the divine life and glory shine forth in perfect radiance. This might be expressed in more material terms by saying that through the dominance of these laws of the soul, the logoic physical body will become an active expression of his self-realized purpose. The final two laws concerning group activity can only be very briefly treated, as their true significance is only apparent to pledged disciples. They concern primarily the astral and the mental planes, and therefore the corresponding vehicles of the group units. A group, it should be remembered, which is functioning on the physical plane is also found in a still larger form on the astral and the mental. Page 1219. Just as the astral body of a man is larger than his physical body and therefore has built into its structure a larger number of atomic units, so a group contains, astrally considered, more units than on the physical plane. The laws we are touching upon concern the relation of the physical plane units to those units who form a part of the group and yet are functioning without the physical plane sheaths or vehicles. The same idea must be applied to the units devoid of a physical vehicle who form a component part of the mental body of the group. These two laws are termed 6, the law of expansive response, 7, the law of the lower four. These laws only become operative in units on the physical plane which are becoming responsive consciously to those group workers who are discarnate. All these laws, from the point of view of a disciple, need only be considered as operative in the three worlds, though it is needless to point out that parallels will be found on all planes. These 7 laws are those which are ascertained and consciously studied in all groups working under the masters. For each of these laws, there is a definite formula and symbol. At this stage of teaching, or through this treatise, it is not possible to reveal or impart the formulas. The symbol may be described, and if the student will carefully ponder upon the nomenclature of the law, its occult name and its symbol, much may be gathered anent group interrelations. It is these laws which the coming cycle of regeneration will enunciate, and which the great Lord will demonstrate upon his appearing. And it is these laws which will gradually be applied to the working methods of all organizations, brotherhoods, fraternities, and Masonic circles. Page 1220. The symbols are as follows. Law 1, a rosy cross with a bird hovering above it. Law 2, two balls of fire united by a triangle of fire, thus picturing the triple interplay between all atomic structures. Law 3, a pitcher of water balanced on the head of a man standing in the form of a cross. It is this law which brings in the energy symbolized by the sign Aquarius, and this law is the governing factor of the Aquarian age. It might here be added that the symbol for Law 2 was the origin of the balance or scales of the sign Libra, but in the course of the ages its true form was distorted. Page 1221. Not all the astrological signs can be traced to the symbols, for only a few can be traced back as far as the master's ashram. Law 4. Here we have the angel with the flaming sword turning in all directions. This symbolism is held true in the Bible, where the angel guards the treasure and drives man forth in search of another way of entrance, thus forcing him through the cycle of rebirth until he finds the portal of initiation. This portal is occultly regarded as freed from the intervention of the sword, as man has developed the ability to soar and mount as an eagle on wings. Law 5. The symbol for this is the mountain with a goat standing on the summit, and again an astrological sign, that of Capricorn, can be noted. All hard places can be surmounted, and the summit reached by the divine goat, symbol of the group, viewed as a unit. Law 6. The symbol contains a flaming rosy sun with a sign in the center, a sign symbolizing the union of fire and water. Below this sign is found a hieroglyphic, which may not be given, as it gives the clue to the earth sign and the keynote of the physical body of the planetary logos. Law 7. This symbol takes the form of a male and female figure standing back to back. The male figure holding above his head what looks like a shield or tray of silver, a great reflector, whilst the female figure holds aloft an urn full of oil. Below this sign is another hieroglyphic which contains the secret of the astral plane, which has to be dominated by the mental. These 7 laws can be worked out along the line of correspondences. It will be found that the energy of any particular center and that of any one law can be brought into line with each other. End of side 1, cassette number 29, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 1222. Continued on side 2. Side 2. Cassette number 29, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division F, The Law of Attraction, on page 1222. 3. The 22 Methods of Group Interplay. These methods of group interplay can only be grasped through a consideration of the fact that all groups are to be found on one or other of the seven rays, and that their interaction will therefore be triple. This must again be regarded as having A, a triple internal interplay, B, a triple external interaction. We might therefore take the seven rays and give the names for the three ways in which the groups on any particular ray interact with each other, remembering that as we consider them, we are really studying the 21 vibrations of the law of attraction or motion with the basic vibration, which is the synthesis of the 21 added, thus making the 22. Ray methods of activity. Roman numeral 1, ray of power. 1. Destruction of forms through group interplay. 2. Stimulation of the self or egoic principle. 3. Spiritual impulse or energy. Roman numeral 2, ray of love wisdom. 4. Construction of forms through group intercourse. 5. Stimulation of desire, the love principle. 6. Soul impulse or energy. Roman numeral 3, ray of activity or adaptability. 7. Vitalizing of forms through group work. 8. Stimulation of forms, the etheric or pranic principle. 9. Material impulse or energy. Page 1223. Roman numeral 4, ray of harmony, union. 10. Perfecting of forms through group interplay. 11. Stimulation of the solar angels or the monastic principle. 12. Buddhic energy. Roman numeral 5. Ray of concrete knowledge. 13. Correspondence of forms to type through group influence. 14. Stimulation of logoic dense physical body, the three worlds. 15. Monastic energy or impulse. Roman numeral 6. Ray of abstract idealism or devotion. 16. Reflection of reality through group work. 17. Stimulation of the man through desire. 18. Desire energy, instinct, and aspiration. Roman numeral 7. Ray of ceremonial order. 19. Union of energy and substance through group activity. 20. Stimulation of all etheric forms. 21. Vital energy. These 21 methods and their synthesis sum up very largely all that can be said anent the actions and motions of all deva substance and all forms. Under the law of attraction, the interplay between these ray forces and all atomic forms is brought about, and manifestation becomes a fact in nature, and the great Maya is. It might here be noted in conclusion that the following factors, 3 atomic relations, 7 laws, 22 methods of activity, totaling 32, make the 32 vibrations necessary to produce, as far as man is concerned, the 5 planes of evolution. There are, as we know, the 35 subplanes, or, in reality, the 32 minor vibrations and the 3 which dominate. Just as the 3 planes of the ego on the mental plane dominate the remaining planes in the 3 worlds, so in the 5 worlds of the hierarchy, the 3 higher subplanes of the atmic plane hold an analogous place. Page 1224. In closing, we might give certain of the symbols for the 12 creative hierarchies. It is not possible to give the symbols whereby the adepts know them, for in those symbols would be revealed much that it is deemed wiser to guard in secrecy. But the symbols, as they are found in records accessible to disciples, may be given, and from the close scrutiny of these, some knowledge as to the essential character of the hierarchy may be revealed. Page 1225. The symbols for the 5 hierarchies which have passed on may be stated as follows. 1. A ball of green fire with 3 rays of rose. 2. A sphere divided by a tau in colors green and silver. 3. A bird with plumage dark and with the eye of radiant fire. 4. 2 stars of vivid rose linked by a band of violet. 5. An ovoid of color indigo with 5 letters or symbolic words within its borders. These hierarchies are also classed together and viewed as one, and are called in esoteric parlance, quote, the lives of that which appeared, rotated, and gathered to themselves the fifth aspect of Mahat, close quote. This symbol, which signifies the liberation achieved and the gains attained in System 1, takes the form of a blazing altar of pure fire, out of which is escaping a bird of green and gold plumage with five wings outspread. Above this symbol appear certain hieroglyphics in the earliest Sensa script, signifying, "Still I seek." The symbols of the seven creative hierarchies now in manifestation are all enclosed in a circle denoting limitation and the circumscribing of the life. All these hierarchies are sons of desire and are paramountly an expression of the desire for manifested life of the solar logos. They receive their primary impulse from the cosmic astral plane. They are also the expression of a vibration emanating from the second row of petals in the logoic lotus on the cosmic mental plane. They are therefore one and all an expression of his love nature. And it is for this reason that Bodhi is found at the heart of the tiniest atom, or what we call in this system, electric fire. Page 1226. For the positive central life of every form is but an expression of cosmic Bodhi, and the downpouring of a love which has its source in the heart of the solar logos. This is itself an emanating principle from the one above our logos, he of whom naught may be said. It is love limiting itself by desire and for that which is desired. It is love pouring itself out into forms which are stimulated and aided thereby. It is the fulfillment of divine obligations incurred in the dim and distant kalpas which antedate the triplicity of solar systems which we can dimly vision. And it is the Father of Light, in a cosmic connotation, pouring himself out for that which binds him and which it is his Dharma to lift up to his throne. It is not possible to picture the revelation of the love of the solar logos as it reveals itself to the eye of the illuminated seer, nor to show the nature of the cosmic Lord of Sacrifice as he limits himself in order to save. At each step along the path, the extent of that love and sacrifice is opened up as the disciple knows himself to be in tiny measure also a Lord of Sacrifice and Love. It can only be appreciated as the two inner rows of egoic petals are unfolded. Knowledge would not reveal it, and it is only as a man transcends knowledge and knows himself to be something non-separative and inclusive that this particular revelation comes to him. This is the secret behind the seven symbols, each one of which hides an aspect of the sevenfold love of God as it is revealed through the hierarchy of beings, or as the sun reveals it, who is the sum total of the love of God. We might at the same time consider the type of force wielded by a particular hierarchy. The following is a tabulation which appears on page 1224. It is entitled The Seven Hierarchies and has four columns which are subheaded as follows. First column, hierarchy. Second column, numbers. Third column, symbol. Fourth column, force, which has two subheadings called aspect and type. 1. Hierarchy, the divine lives. Numbers 1 or 6. Symbol, closed 12-petal lotus, golden. Force, aspect type, one of the sixth cosmic force or Shakti. 2. The burning suns of desire. 2 or 7. Seven colored spheres, each with a central fire. 2 of the seventh Shakti. 3. The triads or the triple flowers, 3 or 8, a triple flame hovering over a glowing altar, 3 of the first Shakti or type of force, 4. The lords of sacrifice or the initiates, 4 or 9, the sun standing with outstretched arms in space, second of the fourth cosmic energy. 5, the crocodiles or the perfect ones. 5 or 10, the five-pointed star with the symbol of system 1 in the center. 4th of the fifth cosmic force, Mahat. 6, the sacrificial fires, the aspirants. 6 or 11, a silver moon surmounted by an equal armed cross. 3rd of the sixth cosmic force. 7, the baskets of nourishment or the blinded lives. 7 or 12, a man reversed with his eyes closed. 4th of the seventh creative force. End of tabulation. Page 1227. Section 3, the electric fire of spirit. Division A, certain basic statements. Division B, the nature of the cosmic paths. Division C, 7 esoteric stanzas. Page 1228 is blank. Page 1229. Section 3, A, certain basic statements. In connection with this final section of the treatise on cosmic fire, dealing with the electric fire of spirit, it should be remembered that it will be quite impossible to impart information of a definite character. This subject is considered, from the standpoint of the esoteric student, to be devoid of form, and therefore incognizable by the lower concrete mind. The nature of spirit can only be intelligibly revealed to the higher grades of the initiates, that is, to those who, through the medium of the work effected in the third initiation, have been put in conscious contact with their Father in Heaven, the Monad. Esoteric students, disciples, and the initiates of lower degree are developing contact with the soul, or the second aspect, and only when this contact is firmly established can the higher concept be entertained. The nature of spirit is dealt with in the New Testament in one of the esoteric statements addressed by the great Lord to the initiate Nicodemus. As he was an initiate of the second degree, it may be supposed that he had some glimmering of understanding as to the meaning of the words which were spoken to him as part of his training in preparation for the third initiation. Quote, "The wind, prana or spirit, bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Close quote. Two ideas are conveyed in this thought form, those of an emanating sound and direction, and that which is the result of the sound. Page 1230 is a chart. Page 1231. This is evolution and the effect of the directing energy or activity of a spirit. From the point of view of consciousness, these are the only things which the disciple can intelligently comprehend. All that it will be possible for us to do in this section will be to impart the truth in three ways: through the illumination of the student's mind as he studies the stanzas of Zi Yan, which will be found at the commencement of the treatise. Secondly, through the realization that will come to the student as he correlates and ponders upon the various occult fragments found scattered through the pages, primarily centering his attention upon the following words. Quote, "The secret of the fire lies hid in the second letter of the sacred word. The mystery of life is concealed within the heart. When the lower point vibrates, when the sacred triangle glows, when the point, the middle center, and the apex connect and circulate the fire, when the threefold apex likewise burns, then the two triangles, the greater and the lesser, merge into one flame, which burneth up the whole." Close quote. Thirdly, through the consideration of the various charts and word pictures which will be found also scattered through the treatise. The student of the new era will approach much that he has to master through the medium of the eye, learning thereby to appreciate and solve that which is presented to him in the form of lines and diagrams. All is symbol, and these symbols must be mastered. It must also be borne in mind that students who approach the subject of spirit need to grasp the following facts. Roman numeral 1. Whilst in manifestation, and therefore during the period of an entire solar system, it is not possible for the highest Daihan Chohan to think in terms of the negation or organized substance and of the non-existence of form. The goal of realization for man is consciousness of the nature of the soul, the medium through which the spirit aspect ever works. Page 1232. More it is not possible for him to do. Having learnt to function as the soul, detached from the three worlds, man then becomes a conscious, corporate, active part of that soul, which permeates and pervades all that is in manifestation. Then, and only then, the pure light of spirit, per se, becomes visible to him through a just appreciation of the jewel hidden at the heart of his own being. Then only does he become aware of that greater jewel which lies hidden at the heart of solar manifestation. Even then, at that advanced stage, all that he can be aware of, can contact and visualize, is the light which emanates from the jewel and the radiance which veils the inner glory. The seer has then become pure vision. He perceives, but as yet comprehends not the nature of that which is perceived, and it remains for another solar system and another kalpa to reveal to him the meaning of that revelation, the source of that illumination, and the essence of that life whose quality is known to him already by its vibratory rate, its heat, and its light. Needless it is, therefore, for us to study and consider that which the initiate of high degree can only dimly sense. Useless it is for us to seek for terms to express that which lies safely hidden behind all ideas and all thought, when thought itself is not perfectly understood, and the machinery for comprehension is not perfected. Man himself, a great idea and a specific one, knows not the nature of that which he is seeking to express. All that we can do is to apprehend the fact that there exists that which may not as yet be defined, to realize that a central life persists which permeates and animates the soul and which seeks to utilize the form through which the soul expresses itself. This can be stated to be true of all forms, of all souls, human, subhuman, planetary, and solar. Page 1233. Roman numeral 2. The wise student will likewise regard all forms of expression as in the nature of symbols. A symbol has three interpretations. It is itself an expression of an idea, and that idea has behind it, in its turn, a purpose inconceivable as yet. The three interpretations of a symbol might be considered in the following way. 1. The exoteric interpretation of a symbol is based largely upon its objective utility and upon the nature of the form. That which is exoteric and substantial serves two purposes. A. To give some faint indications as to the idea or the concept. This links the symbol in its exoteric nature with the mental plane, but does not release it from the three worlds of human appreciation. B. To limit and confine and imprison the idea, and so adapt it to the point in evolution which the solar logos, the planetary logos, and man have reached. The true nature of the latent idea is ever more potent, complete, and full than the form or symbol through which it is seeking expression. Matter is but a symbol of a central energy. Forms of all kinds in all the kingdoms of nature and the manifested sheaths in their widest connotation and totality are only symbols of life. What that life itself may be remains as yet a mystery. These exoteric symbolic forms are of many kinds and serve many purposes, and this is largely responsible for the confusion in the minds of men on these matters. All symbols emanate from three groups of creators: the solar logos, who is constructing a temple in the heavens not made with hands; the planetary logoi, who, in their seven groups, create through seven ways and methods, and thus produce a diversity of symbols and are responsible for concretion. Page 1234. Man, who builds forms and creates symbols in his work of every day, but who as yet works blindly and largely unconsciously. Nevertheless, he merits the name of creator because he utilizes the faculty of mind and employs the rational quality. The lesser devas and all the subhuman entities and all those builders who must in some distant future pass through the human state of consciousness are not regarded as creators. They work under impulses emanating from the other three groups. Each of the three groups is free within certain specified limits. 2. The subjective interpretation is the one which reveals the idea lying behind the objective manifestation. This idea, incorporeal in itself, becomes a concretion on the plane of objectivity, and, as stated above, an idea lies behind every form without exception, and no matter which group of creators is responsible for its construction. These ideas become apparent to the student after he has entered the hall of learning. Just as the exoteric form of the symbol is all that is noted by the man who is as yet in the hall of ignorance. As soon as a man begins to use his mental apparatus and has made even a small contact with his ego, three things occur. A. He reaches out beyond the form and seeks to account for it. B. He arrives in time at the soul which every form veils, and this he does through a knowledge of his own soul. C. He begins then himself to formulate ideas in the occult sense of the term, and to create and make manifest that soul energy or substance which he finds he can manipulate. To train people to work in mental matter is to train them to create. To teach people to know the nature of the soul is to put them in conscious touch with the subjective side of manifestation, and to put into their hands the power to work with soul energy. To enable people to unfold the potencies of the soul aspect is to put them en rapport with the forces and energies hidden in the Akasha and the Anima Mundi. Page 1235. A man can then, as his soul contact and his subjective perception is strengthened and developed, become a conscious creator cooperating with the plans of the hierarchy of adepts who work with ideas and who seek to bring these ideas, planetary ideas, into manifestation upon the physical plane. As he passes through the different grades in the hall of learning, his ability so to work and his capacity to get at the thought lying behind all symbols increases. He is no longer taken in by the appearance, but knows it as the illusory form which veils and imprisons some thought. 3. The spiritual meaning is that which lies behind the subjective sense and which is veiled by the idea or thought, just as the idea itself is veiled by the form it assumes when in exoteric manifestation. This can be regarded as the purpose which prompted the idea and led to its emanation into the world of forms. It is the central dynamic energy which is responsible for the subjective activity. These three aspects of a symbol can be studied in connection with all atomic forms. There is, for instance, that unit of energy which we call the atom of the physicist or chemist. It has itself a form which is the symbol of the energy which produces it. This form of the atom is its exoteric manifestation. There are likewise those atomic aspects which we call, for lack of a better term, the electrons. These electrons are largely responsible for the quality of any particular atom, just as the soul of a man is responsible for his peculiar nature. They represent the subjective aspect or life. Then, finally, there is the positive aspect, the energy responsible for the coherence of the whole, and for the uniformity of the dual manifestation, exoteric and subjective. Page 1236. This is analogous to the spiritual meaning, and who can read that meaning? In man, likewise, the human atom, these three aspects are found. Man on the physical plane is the exoteric symbol of an inner subjective idea, which is possessed of quality and attributes, and a form through which it seeks expression. That soul, in its turn, is the result of a spiritual impulse. But who shall say what that impulse is? Who as yet shall define the purpose behind the soul or idea, whether logoic or human? All these three factors are yet in process of evolution. All are as yet imperfect gods, each in their degree, and therefore unable to express fully that which is the spiritual factor lying behind the conscious soul. Roman numeral 3. The wise student will also ponder well the words, the mystery of electricity, which is the mystery surrounding that process which is responsible for the production of light and therefore of vibration itself. We have concerned ourselves in the other two sections primarily with effects, with the results produced through the operation of the subjective side of nature, that alone which the occultist considers and works with, and the consequent production of objective manifestation. Now we arrive at the realization that there is a cause lying behind that which has hitherto itself been regarded as a cause. For we discover that behind all subjective phenomena there lies an essentially spiritual incentive. This incentive, this latent spiritual cause, is the object of the attention of the spiritual man. The man of the world is occupied with objective phenomena, with that which can be seen, be touched, and handled. The occult student is engaged in studying the subjective side of life and is occupied with the forces which produce all that is familiar upon the terrestrial plane. Page 1237. These forces fall into three main groups. A. Forces emanating from the mental plane in its two divisions. B. Forces of a karmic nature. C. Forces of a purely physical description. These the occult student studies, experiments with, manipulates, and correlates. Through the knowledge thus gained, there comes an understanding of all that can be known in the three worlds, and likewise an understanding of his own nature. The spiritual man is he who, having been both a man of the world and an occult student, has reached the conclusion that behind all those causes with which he has been hitherto engaged is a cause. This causal unity then becomes the goal of his search. This is the mystery lying behind all mysteries. This is the secret of which all that has hitherto been known and conceived is but the veil. This is the heart of the unknown, which holds hid the purpose and the key to all that is, and which is only put into the hands of those exalted beings who, having worked their way through the manifold web of life, know themselves in deed and in truth to be Atma or Spirit itself, and veritable sparks in the one great flame. Three times the cry goes out to all the pilgrims upon the path of life. Know thyself is the first great injunction, and long is the process of attaining that knowledge. Know the self comes next, and when that is achieved, man knows not only himself but all selves. The soul of the universe is to him no longer the sealed book of life, but one with the seven seals broken. Then, when the man stands adept, the cry goes forth, know the one. And the words ring in the adept's ears, search for that which is the responsible cause, and having known the soul and its expression, form, search for that which the soul reveals. Page 1238 is a chart. Page 1239 is a key to the chart. Page 1240. Here is to be found the clue to the search which the adept or perfected man undertakes when he puts his foot upon one of the seven possible paths. The only way in which any light can be thrown upon the mystery lies in the consideration of those seven cosmic paths, of their names and symbols. Very little can be said, for the secrets of the higher initiations may not be revealed, nor the information given in a book for exoteric publication. All that can be done is to make certain suggestions, caution against certain conclusions, and indicate certain symbols which, if pondered upon, may bring a certain amount of illumination. Page 1241. B. The nature of the seven cosmic paths. It should be carefully borne in mind that when the term path is used, it is simply an energy term, and streams of energy are indicated, seven streams which blend and merge to form one path. It should also be noted that the adept who undergoes the discipline and who passes through initiatory rites which will enable him to tread those seven paths has transcended color, has passed beyond the veil, and has expanded his consciousness so that he is at one with the conscious life of his planetary locus. He has therefore arrived at a stage incomprehensible to man now. He is passing out of the realm of substantial forms altogether into the realm of energy. He knows the life of the two aspects, the soul and the body, and is passing away from the realm of awareness altogether. This will sound to the average reader as a foolish jingling of words and a splitting of hairs. But he who reasons by the law of correspondences and who has grasped the basic essential relativity of the three aspects to each other has arrived at the knowledge that back of all form is a subjective life which is known by its quality, its color, and its attributes. He has expanded his consciousness until gradually he has ascertained and made a part of his own conscious ensemble those attributes and qualities. But the pulsating dynamic vibration, which is the producing cause of both the subjective life and its qualitative form, is as yet, to him, the mystery of mysteries and the ineffable secret. It becomes the goal of his endeavor as he sets foot upon one of the seven paths which face him after the fifth initiation. If a master of the wisdom and the one who has unified both the manas, intellect, and wisdom, buddhi, knows not what shall be revealed to him as he treads the cosmic path, which is his choice, surely it is needless for us to try and comprehend, at our relatively low stage of evolution, what is the true connotation of the word spirit. Page 1242. Pondering upon these matters is, for the average man, not only useless, but also dangerous. He has not yet the apparatus of thought necessary for its safe undertaking. It is as if one tried to force a child in the first grade in school to comprehend the differential calculus and the laws of trigonometry. These seven paths, when trodden, prepare a man to pass certain cosmic initiations, including those upon the sun Sirius. One hint may here be given. Each of these paths eventually leads to one or other of the six constellations, which, with ours, form the seven centers in the body of the one about whom naught may be said. Those adepts, therefore, who stay for a prescribed length of time upon our planet are a correspondence to those greater initiates who remain for many kalpas within the solar system, taking certain mysterious initiations concerned entirely with solar evolution. Their work is concerned with the system as a center in the body of that existence who vitalizes the logos of our own system. It might be of value here to list the seven cosmic paths as follows. Path 1, the path of Earth service. Path 2, the path of magnetic work. Path 3, the path of the planetary logos. Path 4, the path to Sirius. Path 5, the ray path. Path 6, the path of the solar logos. Path 7, the path of absolute sonship. Footnote. Students must be careful to distinguish in their minds between these seven cosmic paths and the seven ray paths upon which all humanity are found and which have been earlier treated in the Stratas. As we have already seen, the seven ray paths become three when units upon the four minor rays merge themselves into one of the three major rays. These three form the synthetic ray of love wisdom by the time the sons of men have taken the final systemic initiations. When this stage is reached, and men realize the unity of the solar system, not only theoretically, but also as a practical reality with which they have identified themselves, then there is born in upon their consciousness a something which transcends consciousness altogether, and which can only be expressed by the limiting word identification. This identification is a cosmic and not a systemic process, and is itself sevenfold in nature. This sevenfold process, for lack of a better term, we call the sevenfold cosmic path. Return to text. Page 1243. It must be borne in mind, and no confusion of thought must be permitted, that these terms are the generic names given in the mystic parlance of the Lodge of Masters to the seven methods of work, of endeavor, and of aspiration, whereby the perfected sons of Earth's humanity pass on to specific cosmic paths or streams of energy, making in their totality one great cosmic way. The seven paths, at a certain stage which may not be defined, become the four paths, owing to the fact that our solar system is one of the fourth order. This merging is effected in the following way. The initiates upon path 1 fight their way on to path 6. The initiates upon path 2 alchemize themselves on to path 7. The initiates on path 3, through piercing the veil, find themselves upon path 5. This leaves path 4 to be accounted for. Upon this path pass all those who, through devotion and activity combined, achieve the goal, but who lack as yet the full development of the monastic principle, this being the solar system of love wisdom or of astral Buddhic development. The fourth path includes the larger number of the sons of men. In the hierarchy of our planet, the lords of compassion are numerically greater than the masters of the wisdom. The former must therefore all pass to the sun Sirius, there to undergo a tremendous manasic stimulation, for Sirius is the emanating source of Manas. There the mystic must go and become what is called a spark of Mahatic electricity. These seven paths are not concerned with nature or the balancing of the pairs of opposites. They are concerned only with unity, with that which utilizes the pairs of opposites as factors in the production of light. They deal with that unknown quantity which is responsible for the pairs of opposites. Therefore, they are primarily concerned with that which lies outside the manifested forms, with the true abstraction or the absolute. Page 1244. Spirit and matter are never dissociated during manifestation. They are the duality lying back of all that is objective. Yet some factor is responsible for them, that which is neither spirit nor matter, that which will be regarded as non-existent by anyone except the initiate. At the third initiation, some glimmering light upon this abstraction is sensed by the initiate, and by the time the fifth initiation is reached, enough is apprehended by him to enable him to set forth with ardor on the search for its secret. Path 1, the path of earth service. The nature of the spiritual force which animates the group of our peculiar planetary initiates will become apparent, perhaps, if the methods and purposes of their work are studied from the standpoint of subjective energy, and not so specifically of the material form. This point of view can be gleaned most easily from a consideration of the animating impulse lying behind all world groups, which are particularly consecrated to the uplift of the race. This will necessarily include all political, religious, scientific, and metaphysical organizations. it will be found that each and all are definitely related and have a point of at-one-ment with certain of the numerous occult bodies which are, usually unknown to the affiliated group, responsible for the vitalization of the principal units in any of these organizations doing this pioneer work. This first path is the one that keeps a man linked to the hierarchy, which is pledged to the service of our planetary scheme. It comprises those who work under the Lord of the World in the seven groups into which our Masters of the Wisdom are divided. Page 1245. Not so many masters follow this path as some of the others, and only enough are permitted to do so to carry on planetary evolution satisfactorily. More is known about this path than about any of the others, and more will continuously be found out as members of our humanity fit themselves to contact the brothers of the hierarchy. Their field of employ, their methods of work, will eventually become exoteric, and as the seven groups are recognized and known, schools of development for the filling of posts in these groups will be the logical sequence. The adepts who stay upon this path are distinguished by a dual attribute, which is their guarantee of attainment along this line of spiritual endeavor. They are animated by wise compassion. These words should be carefully studied, for they hold the clue to the nature of this first path. The adepts who choose this path are called esoterically the beneficent dragons, and the energy with which they work and the stream of living force upon which they are found emanates from the constellation of the dragon working through the zodiacal sign Libra. This special spiritual energy produces in all those groups which come under its direct influence a profound faculty for identification. This identification does not concern the form nor the soul, but only the spiritual point of positive life, which in the human unit we call the jewel in the lotus. It should be remembered in this connection that there is a jewel at the heart of every atom. Every jewel has seven facets, which are the seven doorways to the seven paths. The beneficent dragons are distinguished by their luminosity, and it is this basic quality which lies behind the injunction given by all spiritual teachers to their pupils in the words, "Let your light shine forth." Page 1246. When the adept enters through the luminous door, he has before him four very peculiar and esoteric identifications. This entrance takes place after he has passed the fifth initiation and has demonstrated his fitness so to do through a long period of service in connection with our planetary evolution. These identifications eventually bring about within the jewel, which is essentially the true spiritual unit, a momentous happening, and are undergone within the monadic consciousness after the transcendence of the atmic sheath. These four identifications are connected with the fourfold lotus of the solar logos, or with his 12-petaled heart center. This lotus is sometimes called the heart of the sun and concerns the subjective sun. It is not, however, possible to say more along this line. These four identifications are only undergone upon this particular path and are each preceded by three lesser identifications which make a totality of 12 identifications corresponding to the 12-petaled lotus. It will be noted by the accurate student that we are now discontinuing the use of the word initiation, which has to do specifically with consciousness and therefore with duality, and are utilizing a word which connotes synthesis, though very inadequately. The energy which is manipulated in the process of these identifications is largely that pouring through the sixth hierarchy, which has an esoteric relation to the sixth path under which the initiates of path one have eventually to fight their way. The form through which the adept must work in order to demonstrate his control of the energy concerned may not here be given. It may only be stated that luminosity is gained upon the battleground through a fight with a dragon. The following summation may be found suggestive. Page 1247. Path 1, Earth Service. Attributes, wise compassion. Source, constellation of the dragon via Libra. Method, 12 cosmic identifications. Hierarchy, the sixth. Symbol, a green dragon issuing from the center of a blazing sun. Behind the sun and overtopping it can be seen two pillars on either side of a closed door. Quality gained, luminosity. End of side 2, cassette number 29, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 1247. Continued on cassette number 30.